afternoon, Tim.
Good afternoon, Tom. And another lovely day in Newcastle-under-Lyme. Beautiful again.
It's amazing. It is absolutely wonderful weather, and it's been beautiful all week so far.
It has.
Been enjoying the back garden a bit more than we had done the week before. We've put down some grass seed in our back garden, and we're finally starting to see it sprout up. And it's a wonderful sort of look. As you can see, every morning we go outside and we see new bits of grass popping up in our back garden. It's so great.
It's amazing. It's like a miracle.
It is like a miracle. Yeah. New life, Easter,
exactly.
All over again.
Easter, yeah.
It's good.
Well, our grass is growing and I've got to go home today and cut it, I think. Otherwise, we're going to have a bit of a jungle out there. But for new grass, it's looking very green.
Good.
Probably is just a reminder how wet it's been, but now the sun is shining, which is great news.
It is good. I don't know what your gardens are currently looking like, whether they are slightly overgrown because the weather's been so good for growing, or if they are now the best they've ever looked because during this period of lockdown, you've been able to go into your gardens every day and pruning it to perfection. I'm not sure which one of those poles you're at, but I'm looking forward to visiting people's homes once all this is over and seeing all the home improvements that people have done and the new bathrooms that people have had and the gardens and everything. I think everyone's going to have done amazing jobs and the housing market's going to go through the roof because everyone's houses are going to be spotless. Is that right?
Perhaps we should have photos of gardens sent in now, Tom.
Photos of gardens.
We had pets. Maybe we should have gardens now.
Yeah, we've had pets. We've had where you're watching, the weirdest room. Yeah. I loved seeing someone sent in their kind of craft room come office come cubby hole, and it was wonderful to see that.
So maybe yeah. Gardens would be
gardens.
Next.
Okay, we'll have to put the word out on email as well for that. But gardens, we want to see your gardens, whether they're great or not so great. We'll show you ours. Ours in its kind of half grass, half not state. But it's really good to be able to see all the wonderful things of the outdoor world at this time.
And enjoy it as well. So I hope everybody's getting out and at least having a little walk somewhere, whether it is just in your garden or whether it's up and down the street. I hope that you're finding time to get out there and enjoy the birds singing. They are beautiful, aren't they? And I'd love to know which bird is singing what tune, but in some ways it doesn't matter, does it? It just sounds amazing. I can tell a pigeon.
Can you?
Yeah, I'm very good at telling pigeons.
Good experience of that.
Yes, I had lots of pigeons, I'm afraid. hey, it's all great, isn't it? And I've always wondered about pigeons. Do pigeons listen to the other birds and say, I wish I could sing like them? Do you think they are in the comparison game, birds?
I think they probably are. I think some birds like to mimic each other, don't they?
Yes.
On the topic of pigeons, I had a curious thing that came to me last week. Have you ever seen a baby pigeon, Tim?
Well, that's one of those great questions that the answer is no, I think, is it?
They're very... I did read up about it, but I'm not going to spoil it for you. You can go away and search yourself on baby pigeons. But it just puzzled me out of the blue, and I thought, yeah, I'll go and find out why we don't see baby pigeons.
You've made me feel like a bit of a failure that I don't know the answer to that question, Tom. Can I set you a question now?
Of course you can.
Right, OK, here's the question then. Who does the Bible say built the city of Nineveh? This isn't a joke. This is a real serious question. And I think it may be one of the hardest questions about the Bible that has ever, ever been asked, Tom.
Good.
So I'm expecting you to fail this one, I'm afraid.
Yes, I can fail it perfectly well in my own right.
Well, I'm not going to give the answer. So perhaps somebody could send in the answer. And the first person to send in the answer, they'll get a prize from me. I don't know what the prize will be, but... See if anybody knows the answer. Of course, you can look up the answer because the Bible just does give us the answer. But who does the Bible say built the city of Nineveh?
My guess is it's not in the story of Jonah. We don't find it out
there.
No.
Long before then,
Long
I'm afraid.
Before then, yeah. I'm afraid that my knowledge is leaving me behind. Dad, if you're listening, you may well know the answer to that. So hopefully you can buzz in quickly to get...
Yes. And speaking of failure, of course, Tom.
Yes.
We come to today's passage.
We're talking about today's passage.
And the person that you talked about on Sunday, who
Simon
was
Peter.
A failure.
He was a failure by all accounts. Mm. He messed up on multiple occasions. He said the wrong things at the wrong time. He denied knowing Jesus multiple times. And worst of all, perhaps, he was a rubbish fisherman. Twice he tried to go out and collect fish, and twice he failed spectacularly by not even catching a tiny little sardine amidst what is known as being one of the most fish-filled lakes that there is.
I've always felt a bit sorry for him because often it's John that records Peter's failures, doesn't it?
Yes.
And when they went to the tomb on that first day, we even know that John ran faster than Peter.
Yes, the one Jesus loved ran quicker.
I know.
But I love that Peter was the one that went into the tomb.
Yeah, exactly. So he just carried on.
He was
on
the
going.
One that just was straight in there. Giving it his all.
And he was the one who got out of the boat and walked on the water.
Yes, and then...
In this passage...
He got out of the water, but I didn't pick up on this on Sunday, but just curiously, we're going to read it in a moment, but note very carefully what he does when he jumps into the
absolutely.
Water, because it just shows further the slight strangeness of Simon Peter and his, strangeness. So this is John chapter 21, and we're starting today at verse 7. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Now Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" For they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead.
Yes, so have you ever jumped into the water with your outer garment on, Tom?
Well, for lifeguarding training, yes. I'm not a professional lifeguard by any stretch, but we had to do it as part of our swimming badges when we were kids.
I was going to say, there's not a lot of sea around here to practice in.
No, not a huge amount. No. But no, it's more curious that he put his outer garment on him.
Yes.
So he actually put it back on to jump into the water. Just a strange thing. And again... interesting that John recorded that with such specific detail. You know, verses of the Bible can have such strong meaning, and then John decided to use a verse of it to tell us that Simon Peter put his clothes on and jumped into the water.
Yes, and also the detail of 153 large fish, which is fascinating, and I think many theologians have speculated over the 153, but as far as I know, nobody's really come up with a suitable answer, really?
No, they haven't. They haven't. And I guess when I kind of looked at this passage at the weekend, I saw it and thought that John named all of these disciples at the start of the passage. Simon Peter, Thomas, known as Didymus, Nathaniel from Cana, sons of Zebedee, obviously himself and Peter. And he says, and there were two other disciples as well.
Yeah. Who cares what their names are?
Now, maybe it was those two who were counting the fish. Maybe those two people were there. Maybe it's two people that these two disciples were people that walked on the road to Emmaus, perhaps. They're the two other disciples in this story. So maybe it was them who counted the fish, or perhaps it was just trying to say 153 is a pretty big number of fish and it's just been written for that purpose. I don't know why it was recorded. Given we've just experienced an amazing miracle,
exactly.
You've got to be thinking what is going on in the disciples' head to actually think to count the fish.
I mean, this was a big miracle, though.
This was.
It?
Totally. This was an amazing miracle.
Verse 6 says they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. And there were clearly a large number of large fish, judging by verse 11. So doubly large, and just shows the full extent of the miracle, really, that Jesus performed on that particular occasion.
And it's amazing that through this story, Simon Peter knew that it was the Lord. And it was, well, John pointed it out to Simon Peter, and Simon Peter agreed. Because for him to see this happen, he can remember what happened 3 years earlier when this exact same miracle happened. He's going through this process of slight confusion still. I don't think we can look beyond the fact that the disciples, even though they'd had the reassurance from Jesus and they'd seen him twice before this, I still think there must have been some confusion from them, because for some of them, there will have been a thought process of probably saying, we have to believe this. We know it's true, but we're still not quite there with it. And so Jesus shows them a miracle that they will understand. He puts Simon Peter in the middle of this boat, and he does the same miracle that happened 3 years ago to show Simon Peter of his power and to remind Simon Peter to trust in him again.
It's also interesting, I think, that it was the disciple who Jesus loved, which we assume was John, who wrote the gospel, that it was him who pointed out to Peter that it was Jesus. Whereas you remember that moment in John's gospel where it was Peter who was the first one to acknowledge this is the Christ. You know, who do people say I am, Jesus said. And it was Peter who immediately said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now this time, it's John who's saying it to Peter. So some interesting dynamics going on, isn't there, between the disciples. And you understand that, of course. You know, here's 12 young men who've been together for a long period of time, all totally different characters. That was one of the reasons Jesus chose such different characters, wasn't it? Just to help us to understand that we could have been included in that. And in fact, now, of course, we are included in that. But Jesus isn't just looking for one particular type of person. He's looking for anyone who's willing enough to understand who he is. And maybe for John, this was a real key moment of declaration when he voiced it loudly and clearly, it is the Lord. You know, that's a moment of faith for him as well, that he understood the full extent of who Jesus was. And maybe for him, this was a key moment in his own, the next stages of his own journey as well.
And then Jesus says to them in verse 12, after they've caught the fish, they've brought the net back ashore full of the fish. Jesus says this wonderful line to them, come and have breakfast.
Oh, lovely breakfast.
Can you imagine being invited by Jesus to come and eat breakfast? Can you imagine? I like to think that the fish will have been perfectly cooked. Mm. The bread will have been the fluffiest bread with the crispiest exterior because Jesus has made this for the disciples.
But where did Jesus get his fish from, you see? Because they were already cooking before the others bought their own fish. He didn't need their fish.
No, but
which is fascinating.
I love the invitation, though.
Exactly.
I love how he says to them, bring some of the fish you've just caught.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't need what they had, but he still wanted for them to feel welcome.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think for me, that's such a powerful moment in this story. He didn't need it because he already had it, but he invited them to bring what they just caught, and he was going to use that as well to feed them. I think that is such a powerful example of who Jesus is. And that's the flip of this, that we've got to move from the miracle, which is incredible, to understand who the miracle maker is. And that's the key to this. Jesus doesn't want them to dwell on the miracle of the fish. He wants them to stay where he is, to come to where he is.
Jesus knew the situation. Jesus knew that the disciples had been out all night fishing, and he knew that they'd caught nothing. He provided a way for them to have fish as they desired. And then when they're coming back, they're tired, they're weary, they're worn out. They're going to be a bit depressed because of all of the events that have happened over the past few days. They're going to be fed up because they haven't caught anything. Jesus serves them breakfast. And I don't know about you. For me, when I was at uni, I can remember those evenings when I stayed up all night. And I will hold my hand up and say I did it. Sometimes it was to do with deadlines and work-related things, and sometimes it wasn't.
So being unorganised, really, is it, Tom?
Well, I'm not going to say unorganised because the where I'm going with this was definitely not unorganised.
Okay.
I can remember an evening that turned into a morning, that turned into a morning lunchtime. And I went to play pool with some friends, and it was a free student night. And we could stay up as long as you wanted. And we played, and we kept playing, and we kept playing, and we kept playing. And before you knew it, it was 6 a.m. It was so early. And we were shattered by this point, but we'd had an amazing time together. And then the person who was standing behind the bar, who'd been there all night with us in this pool place, asked us if we wanted some toast and coffee. And I can just remember that feeling of, yes, yes, and yes. And we had breakfast, and then we went home and we slept. But it's such a relief sometimes when someone offers you something when you're in need yourself. And this story to me, I think I said it at the weekend, but it reminds me that Jesus caters for our practical needs when they arise. And yes, sometimes there'll be occasions when we don't always see how Jesus has responded to our need. But in this story for the disciples, he fed them when they were tired and weary. And not just that he fed them, but he revealed himself to them. The miracle led them to see the miracle maker.
And I think this is the beauty of Jesus, isn't it? You know, that he knows what we need at the time we need it, you know? And before anything else happened in this story, and, you know, the reinstatement of Peter, the recommissioning of Peter, which follows on from this passage.
Spoilers for tomorrow, Tim.
Yeah. he fed them. I mean, it is the most amazing thing, isn't it? For all that Jesus wanted, and perhaps for everything Peter wanted, the first place was just a simple breakfast on the beach. It's a remarkable moment, isn't it, of just the love and the care that Jesus has to meet the needs that we have in that particular moment. And that is so applicable for this time, isn't it, you know? You know, there's a whole wide variety of people as part of our church and who may be listening to this podcast today, people in such different circumstances with such different needs at this moment, whether it's, you know, teaching the kids at the dinner table again, whether it's looking after somebody who is unwell, whether it's because you're on your own and you're having to be isolated on your own, and how long is that going to go on for, we don't know. All sorts of different circumstances. Some of you are working, will have been working today, and you know, trying to manage that whole workplace as well, particularly with you know, the social distancing issues, and we're in this situation of, I wonder what's going to happen on Sunday when the Prime Minister speaks. Is there going to be a relaxation? Who's going to be able to be in that place of relaxed situation? Yeah, all sorts of questions. And Jesus knows exactly what we need in any given moment. And it has been a challenge, hasn't it? And it's going to continue to be a challenge of trusting him for that. And sure, the questions come up, you know, sure, the questions, the disappointments, the fears, the guilt, the frustrations, all of that comes up. But he knows that. But he still wants you to trust him in it. And come and have breakfast. You know, that's what you need, he's saying to the disciples. Before anything else happens, just come and have breakfast. I'm just going to help you to understand a little bit more of who I am. And that is the one who provides for you. Is that passage in Matthew chapter 11, Tom, that we were just chatting about before we started recording, and I think it probably comes in quite helpfully at this point. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, and many of you will know these verses, but I just think it's this invitation of Jesus when he says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all those of you that are hungry, and I'm going to give you some fish. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And I think during all of this time, with all the different emotions, rest for our souls is what Jesus offers to us right now. That's the miracle from the miracle worker, who can do just that, who can feed our souls, who can give rest to our souls, who brings life into our sagging spirits, who brings hope into our despair, who brings peace into our worry and anxiety. And that's the amazing gift of Jesus, because that is all wrapped up in who he is, and he offers it to each of us today as well. Sorry, that sounded like I was preaching then, my apologies. But it is amazing to think that this is Jesus, and we can come to him and experience the fullness of his presence as well.
That's wonderful. I think it'd be good now for us to pray together.
Yeah.
We've loved praying with you each week through our daily podcasts and through our MBC Connect. And this morning, we're going to be using some words from the Beatitudes that have been somewhat modified for our current climate.
So this is the Beatitudes for a global pandemic. Let's pray. Let's reflect on these words together. Blessed are those who stay indoors, for they have protected others. Blessed are the unemployed and the self-employed, for their need of God is great.
Blessed are the corner shopkeepers, for they are the purveyors of scarce things. And blessed are the delivery drivers and the postal workers, for they are the bringers of essential things.
Blessed are the hospital workers, the ambulance crews, the doctors, the nurses, the care assistants and the cleaners, for they stand between us and the grave, and the kingdom of heaven is surely theirs. Blessed are the checkout workers, for they have patience and fortitude in the face of overwork and frustration.
Blessed are the refuse collectors, for they will see God despite the mountains of waste. And blessed are the teachers, for they remain steadfast and constant in disturbing times.
And blessed are the church workers, the deacons, the vicars, the ministers, for they are a comforting presence in a hurting world as they continue to signpost all of us towards God. Blessed are the single parents, for they are coping alone with their responsibilities and there is no respite.
Blessed are those who are alone, for they are children of God, and with him they will never be lonely. And blessed are the bereaved, for whom the worst has already happened. They shall be comforted.
And blessed are those who are isolated with their abusers, for one day, we pray, they will know safety. Blessed are all of you during this time who have pure hearts, all who hunger and thirst for justice, all who work for peace and who model mercy. May you know comfort, may you know calm, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.
As we finish this morning, I wanted to share with you a couple of pieces of exciting news that I've seen. I'm sure you'll be intrigued to hear that a quarter of UK adults have listened to or watched a religious service during this COVID lockdown, and 1 in 20 people have started praying during this crisis. Between 18 and 34 year olds, a third of young adults have watched or listened to an online service, and I think these statistics are just incredible things for us to take heart in and to realise that people across the UK are being blessed at this time. You may have seen on YouTube over the weekend an amazing video that's been produced by Tim Hughes and churches all across the UK. Obviously, since this is a podcast, we can't show you the video now, but we'd urge you to go and find it. Look for it online today. You can just search for it under the UK Blessing. And it's an amazing song that serves to be a blessing both for each of us and for the wider community. Maybe you want to share the video today with a friend or via whoever you're in contact with through this period. And if you're struggling to find it, then don't worry, we'll be including it in our Sunday service at the end of it. Tim, have you got anything more to add today?
No, I think that sounds like a good day's work, Tom. And just the key thing, isn't it? You know, just to keep Jesus involved in our lives because he wants to be involved. We just need to invite him. So let's continue to keep our eyes fixed on him and be blessed as he meets us wherever we are today.
Yeah. I've been Tom, and I still am.
I've been and always will be Tim. Fantastic. Other than if you were my mum, you'd call me Timothy, but I'll be Tim today.
Excellent.
Continue the journey. Keep listening. 40 Days with Jesus. I hope you've been encouraged by it and inspired by it. Make sure you log on Sunday for our YouTube service at 10:30 and let's continue this journey and encounter the risen Jesus together. Thanks very much for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.